And oftentimes that is revealed where things don't go like we think they ought to. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter number 6. You know, life is filled with many uncertainties. You never know one day to the next just exactly what's going to happen. You think you know, but you don't really. You know, the Bible warns us about presuming on the future. The Bible tells us over in the book of Proverbs, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, once again, we think we've got it all planned out, but then all it takes is one visit to the doctor to change everything. Sometimes we just don't know. But there are some things that we can know, and we do know for sure. James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote in the book of James, and he warned us. He says, "You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away." It's true. We don't have a whole lot of guarantees. Job said our life is short and it's going to be full of trouble. Well, that may be a guarantee. And if you're married, never mind. I'm thankful that God doesn't operate under the standard of doubt. God operates under the standard of absolute, of guarantees, of you can trust me. You can believe me. We've been studying over the last couple months the life of Abraham. Last week we began to unwrap the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 17, a promise that God made to Abraham about 5,000 years ago. God's still keeping that promise today. You know, God's given you and I some promises, and they may seem like they were a long time ago, but I want you to know something. God always keeps His promises. He always keeps His word. Jesus is speaking to the religious crowd and then to the disciples. John 6 is a great chapter. At the very beginning of it is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. Everybody was doubting. What are we going to do, Lord? And He said, just relax and trust me. You know, God does that in our lives, doesn't He? You say, Lord, it's overwhelming. There's no way. But He comes through. And then disciples got in a boat, got in the middle of a storm. Once again, doubted, concerned. Jesus came right into life. Verse number 32, the Word of God says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." He was giving the Jews a history lesson of how God took care of them whenever they lived in the wilderness. And they ate the manna every day. But He says in verse number 33, He says, "For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." And they said unto Him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." He said, "Listen," He said, "what you need is this." And they said, "We want it." And it says, verse number 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Here's some guarantees. This is what we're going to deal with today. Some guarantees. We've called this guarantees to the sinner, which that's us. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing." And here's a promise but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Most of these promises are made to God's people. Today I want to deal with five. I know that's more than my normal three. One, two, three, five. By the way, Andrew, I was thinking a while ago, whenever you were over there singing, and I asked Bryce the same thing, you guys sing. Whenever you guys sing, do you ever worry that your voice is going to squeak? Yeah, I'm just wondering. Okay. Because I'm going to tell you something. My voice still does today. All right? So, that'd be, if I sang, that'd be something. So, I kind of like, you know, families singing together. So, I think what we'll do is we'll put a list out there in the hallway, and you guys can pick which families are going to sing next. Okay? See, y'all thought I was going to say volunteer. No. There's some of y'all that I'd like for you to come up and sing. Like, you know, Jason and Jenny and Hunter, you know, wouldn't that be cool to have them sing? Amen. All right, good. All right. Mike and Leanne, right? Okay. All right, good. All right. Me and Miss Tina. Amen. All right. Number one, let's get to this, right? Amber's got me a new screen set up back here in the back, and it's telling me how long I've already been talking. It says 6 minutes. And it's like, wow, we're not even to the message yet. I better start my timer now, Amber. All right. Okay, ready? God, number one, if you guys are taking notes. By the way, new sermon notebooks out there in the hallway and in the bookstore. I'd encourage you to get a sermon notebook. Keep track of something God speaks to you about. You don't have to write the outline down, but here's something I'm going to promise you. I'm going to promise you that every Sunday that you come to church, God's going to speak to you about something. And all God's people said, it may not be the same for everybody, which I'm glad it's not. You know why? Because our God is an individual God. He deals with us as individuals. But He loves it when we congregate together. Number one today, if you read in these passages of Scripture, the verse of Scripture, you'll see God guarantees revelation. The word revelation means to reveal, or that which is revealed. Now God, one writer said this, God wrote two books. And at first when I read that, I thought, what? God wrote two books. One you read in creation, and the other is the Bible, the Word of God. God guarantees revelation. Look at it in verse number 40 with me. It says, this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, before man can be saved, he must see Jesus. I don't need to see Him physically, but I must see Him physical. Or I'm sorry, I must not see Him physically, but I must see Him spiritually. See, He must be seen. What do you mean seen? He must be seen as the Son of God. He must be seen as the Savior of men, as the Lamb of God, as the resurrected Jesus. How does one see Jesus? How does one see Jesus today? I remember years ago, I can't remember the guy's name. He was out in Oklahoma, had the big school, and he was on TV. He's one of those charismatic name and claim it preachers. And he said he had a dream and he saw a 900-foot Jesus. I remember that. I may remember that. 900-foot Jesus. What was that guy's name? Oral Roberts. There you go. That's right. Amen. And, you know, so he said, I saw a 900-foot Jesus. You know, you don't have to have a dream in order to see Jesus. All you have to do is read the Word of God. Whenever you read the Bible, you'll see Jesus. The Bible says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Whenever you read the Word of God, you'll begin to see Jesus. The Spirit of the Word, the Spirit will reveal Jesus to us. The Bible says, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. The Bible says that which was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The Word of God will reveal Jesus to us. That's a guarantee that we have. You say, preacher, I'm having a struggle today. I don't know. Everything I see is bad. What do I do? Read the Word of God. In the Bible, you will find Jesus. They'll reveal Jesus. You say, how do you know that? The Bible says right here, that's a guarantee that I have. Not only in verse number 40 do I have a guarantee of God's revelation or revealing Himself to me, but I have a guarantee that whenever I see Jesus, there's going to be a spiritual reaction. How many of you have people that come into your life that you have a reaction? Some of you are like, that person gives me a rash. That person makes me mad. Some people come into your life and it's just joy, joy, joy. And then there are others. Well, we go there. But whenever we see Jesus, I don't care where you're at in your spiritual walk. By the way, God doesn't care where you're at in your spiritual journey. If you're looking for Him, He will show up and there'll be a spiritual reaction. Either you'll fall down and worship like Abraham did on multiple occasions, or you'll fall down seeking forgiveness, or maybe you'll just stand there in pride. I don't know. But there's going to be a spiritual reaction, and it's going to go one of two ways. You're either going to accept Him and accept what He's saying, or you're going to reject Him. I had a man recently tell me, we were talking, and as we were talking, I asked him, I said, can I ask you a question? He had no idea what's coming. I did. So I asked him, I said, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven, or is there some doubt? He said, well, I would hope that I'm going. I said, you go to church, right? You're on the church security team. By the way, it's one of my concerns. We deal with and we teach. A lot of folks are on church security teams. And here's one of my concerns, that a lot of them are outside of church. And a lot of them are probably even lost. They've just been recruited to carry a gun and to keep everybody safe. And I'm going to tell you something. I tell them all the time. I said, look, I said, you know what? You're a lot better off to sit in the service and have somebody shoot you than you are to stay out of the service and die and go to hell. But as I taught this man for a few moments, you know what? He had a reaction, and here was the reaction. He said, you know, I'm not ready to make that decision. You know what he did? He rejected. Because a hold off or a wait is a rejection. For many years, I rejected Jesus. I'd heard about Him, but I rejected. You know what I said? I'll wait. When a man is confronted with the revelation of Jesus Christ, a decision must be made. Pontius Pilate said, well, not going to. You know what he said? I reject. The rich young ruler, you know what he said? I'll reject. You know what Paul said? I'll accept. You know what Peter, James, and John said? I'll accept. You know what the woman by the well said? I'll accept. I'll receive. See, whenever they saw Jesus, when Jesus was revealed to them, they accepted, they received Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever Jesus is revealed, God guarantees there's going to be a spiritual reaction. And if you're struggling in your life today and you say, man, I don't know where to go, turn to the Word of God and let Jesus reveal Himself to you. And I promise you, there will be a spiritual reaction. God will bring you to a place of decision. Men can receive Him, and they must receive Him. The Word of God says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. You say, what does that mean? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was not just a good man, and Jesus being just a good man cannot save your soul, but Jesus as the Son of God, the resurrected Savior, can save your soul. We deal with this verse all the time when we are at the fairs, and people get stuck on that, and they're like, well, I'm not ready to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you're not ready to get saved. Well, I'd like to pray anyway. You pray all you want, but you're still going to die and go to hell if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because only Jesus as the Son of God revealing Himself to you as that can save you. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. I love the next four words, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, not with the mouth. With the mouth confession is made. But with the heart, deep in your very being, Jesus reveals Himself to you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thomas, for a little bit, he doubted, but you know what? It wasn't long before he really believed. Men can accept Him. Men can refuse Him. Sometimes people have a head belief, but not a heart belief. I remember years ago a preacher saying, Some people are 18 inches away from heaven. They believed it here, but they didn't believe it there. I fear that there are a lot of people in our churches today that are like that. They believe it here, but they've never believed it there. King Agrippa said unto Paul, he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know what he was saying? I'm going to hell. I choose to go to hell. Almost, but you know what happened? Jesus had been revealed to him. A spiritual reaction happened. God guarantees a revelation of himself. God guarantees a spiritual reaction. But look at it with me in verse number 37. Verse number 37, kind of go back a little bit. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. I'm not going to deal with predestination and election and all that. But here's what I do believe. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm a whosoever, amen. I believe that Jesus Christ died for everyone. Just some reject him. God's desire is that every man would go to heaven. That's the reason why Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die for a select few. He died for everybody. What a shame it is that people reject him. I'm so glad I didn't die before the age of 17 because I would have died and gone to hell. By the way, there were several times I believe the devil tried to kill me or tried to make me kill myself in some manner, but God protected me. I'm so glad that God protects the ignorant and the foolish. But God guarantees not only a revelation and a spiritual reaction, but he guarantees our reception. He says, you come to me and I'll receive you. Regardless of our past or our present, Jesus gives his word that none will be turned away. You know what the devil whispers in people's ear? You're too bad. You've done too much wrong. He even does this with Christians that get away from God and fall into sin. He tells them, there's no way that Jesus will accept you back. You can't come back. But I want you to know something. Jesus is like that father in the parable. He's always looking. And whenever you turn and you begin to make your way back, he runs to you. He guarantees a reception. The Bible says it here in verse number 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no way thrust them away with contempt. There's no way that I'll cast him away. I'll not push him away out of disgust. Yes, the sinner's sins are an abomination and an affront to holy God. But don't you know something today? God is not shocked by your sin. When he died on the cross, he knew you and I were sinners, but he died for us anyway. He guarantees you and I can come to him. Any sinner who desires to come to him by faith will find the door is wide open, and all God's people said. Boy, I'm so thankful for that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Man, what a promise. A thief on the cross hung beside Jesus. Jesus was revealed to him. A spiritual reaction went on. A reception was offered. One rejected, one accepted. One of the people you and I are going to see today, or see when we get to heaven, is that thief that hung on the cross beside Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, he said, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. I love what this verse says in Revelation, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And let him take of the water of life freely. See, these verses reveal the fact that God refuses no one who will obey the call to come to him. You say, preacher, this is simple. Yeah, every once in a while we just need to be reminded that this is a simple thing. It's just simple. Our God put stuff down on the lower shelf for most of us that need it down here. Amen. It's not that complicated. God guarantees a revelation. All you have to do is look at creation. These fools that look at creation and they look at the world and say, oh, it came from nothing. Well, yeah, it did. Because in the beginning, God, amen, God started it all. You say, how did that happen? I don't know. I wasn't there. But I've got to take His word for it, which that's what I do in every other instance. God promises, guarantees a revelation. Can I say this today? He reveals Himself to a man whether he wants him to or not. All of creation cries out, there is a Creator God. Every part about my physical being cries out, there is a Creator God. I cannot imagine a doctor on the face of the earth that is not a Christian. I cannot. They have got to step over so much to remain a fool. They may be wise in the things of the world, but they are foolish whenever it comes to the really things that they need to be concerned about. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine an engineer or anybody that deals with anything to do with creation. Listen, I can't imagine a veterinarian, a hunter. Because God guarantees a revelation. And in every time He reveals Himself, which is always and everywhere, there's a spiritual reaction. Listen, men and women do not reject Jesus just once. They reject Him multiple times in their lifetime. Thousands of times. In every heartache, the ladies were singing about it. And others, we sung about it today. In all of those things, God reveals Himself. Because God guarantees that whenever we turn to Him, there's a reception. By the way, there's a guarantee of a reception the other way too. Hell hath enlarged herself to receive not only the devil and his angels, but those that have rejected Jesus Christ. Look at it in verse number 40. Verse 40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, all right, here it is, and believeth on Him, here's the next phrase, may have everlasting life. You say, what does God guarantee there? Redemption. Redemption. Salvation. Jesus says it very simply. I love these two words, everlasting life. I was doing a search a while ago before Amber came in and interrupted me and was talking about what's going on with the new screen and all that, which, by the way, it's 23 minutes. She says very simply, or the Bible says very simply, everlasting life. And I was doing a search. I was wondering, I was curious, how many times does that phrase show up in the New Testament? And apparently it was a lot. I just glanced over it while Amber was talking to me. I can multitask. I can act like I'm listening to somebody and do something else at the same time. Because I'm a husband, all right? I've acquired that. That's an acquired skill. Because, see, as teenagers, see, they've not mastered that. What they do is they don't listen to you and then their brain does nothing else. Amen. There's nothing else going on in there. You can look into some of their eyes sometimes and you just know. It's like, hey. And they're just like, I know, see. Chrissy, you know, you got two teenage girls, amen, all right? So you understand. And there's a time period where there's absolutely no brain activity. If they hooked them up, they, you know, we'd be buried them somewhere. But praise God they grow out of that, amen? Man, but they're wonderful. But you know what? Sometimes I think that they're training to be husbands and wives. You know, because, hey, I hear you, but I'm not paying any attention to you. Salvation. You know what the word salvation means? To rescue from all harm and danger. The saved man needs not to fear hell. The Word of God says much more than being justified. being now justified by His blood, notice this, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You and I, as believers today, no matter how bad it gets, that's as close to hell that we're ever going to get. No wrath for the believer. By the way, when a saved man gets saved, when a man gets saved or a woman gets saved, their life will be different. The Bible says it'll be a different creature. Listen, I receive salvation. This is what redemption is. Redemption is salvation, and it's forgiveness. The Bible says, be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath, let's say those last two words together. Ready? What? Forgiven. Let's say this. Forgiven me. Let's repeat that. Ready? Forgiven me. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so He hath removed our sin. Redemption. Redemption means salvation. It means forgiveness. It means justification. I'm not just forgiven, but I'm declared righteous. And He goes on, He says, you'll have eternal life. The thief cometh not but for to steal and destroy. I'm sorry, to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it, how? More abundantly. You know, Christians don't have it any better than lost people have it. Not here. We all suffer the same thing. But there's a hope. Life more abundantly. You know, I come to church and I tease Brother Steve about singing heaven songs all the time. And he does. He's always done that. It's not like, you know, the older he gets, the closer he is to it and all, he sings more and more of those. But he's always done that. But you know, I get it. And the reason why is because, you know what I have here today? I have a hope of a heavenly home. Everything in this world is designed to take my hope away. But you know what they can't take away? They can't take away the joy and the hope that Jesus has given me. More abundantly. I have a heavenly home that's given for me. And one day, God will wipe away every tear. He'll take me to a place. He'll take the believer to a place of no death, no sorrow, no pain. Not any of that. That's more abundantly. But you know, here on this earth, I still experience it more abundantly. I was thinking about that before church. I was looking around, and I was looking at y'all today. And I was looking at lives seated here that have been changed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you, I don't know how far you've come. Well, there's a good number in this room today. A lot of us have made that journey together over the last 20 years. And we've seen as Jesus has changed our lives in different ways. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not what I was 20 years ago, even as a saved man. I'm glad I'm not what I was 40 years ago as an unsaved man. That's more abundantly. Can I tell you today? God will promise, He guarantees that if you look for Him, even if you don't look for Him, He'll show up. He'll reveal Himself. Whenever He begins to reveal Himself, you have a choice. There's going to be a spiritual reaction. I'm going through a difficult time, Pastor. Pray. Read your Bible. Let Jesus, let God minister to you. Receive what He wants to do in your life. And then lastly today, we see back in verse number 40, the last little phrase. If you underline things in your Bible, there are a couple things you could underline, but this is one of them. And I will raise Him up at the last day. Last little day. Number 5, God guarantees a resurrection. A resurrection. Our Redeemer lives, and so shall we. We're 5 weeks away from Easter. Easter is the world celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we actually do that every Sunday. That's why we gather. We gather because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, I can face all eternity. God promises a resurrection. You say, how do you know that? Because just as Jesus was resurrected, I will be too. A resurrection for the saved. But unfortunately, there's also a resurrection for the lost. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, those that have rejected Jesus Christ, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They might have believed here, but they never trusted here. Notice the last verse, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That's really the worst part about hell. The worst part about hell is not the fire, not the heat, not the anguish. The worst part about hell is an eternity completely without the presence of God. God is good. And without His presence is nothing good. We can't even begin to fathom that. And from the glory of His power. Can I tell you today? These verses contain some great guarantees. Jesus will reveal Himself. It will cause a spiritual reaction. He guarantees a reception. He guarantees a redemption. He guarantees one day a resurrection. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the guarantees and the promises of God today. God keeps His promises. When was the last time you thanked Him for it? It's easy for us to get caught up in everything else. When was the last time you just simply bowed your head and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Maybe today. Thank Him for your family. Thank Him for all that. Thank Him for the Word of God. But thank Him for keeping His promise. Some of those, He's keeping them, and we still haven't made it yet. Heads bowed, eyes closed today. How many in the room today?